And I think if we take the Word of God out of our spiritual lives, we'd be in a mess. And somebody said, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't need the Word of God. That's like a plumber without any plumbing wrenches. Amen. That's like a carpenter without a hammer. Amen. To build anything with. And I think we don't even realize just how desperately bad we really do need the Word of God. And it is our life, our lifeline, and our light in these days. And I love it, and I'm thankful for it. Let's look here in Nehemiah chapter number 3, and we will read our verse again. Sister Debbie, everything still waiting. All right. Okay, let's continue to pray there about that. All right, let's stand together, and we'll read our verse here. Verse 15, Nehemiah 3:15. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shalem the son of Kelhoza, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it and covered it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, the wall of the pool of Siloah by the king's garden. And under the stairs it go down from the city of David. It goes on down through, look with me in the latter part or the middle part of verse 16, where it speaks about the sepulchers of David, under the place over against the sepulchers of David, and to the pool that was made, and under the house of the mighty. Look with me in the end of verse number 19, where the Bible said another piece, over against the going up of the armory at the turning of the wall. And then again in verse number 20, the middle part, from the turning of the wall under the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. After him repaired Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Kos, another piece from the door of the house of Eliashib, even to the end of the house of Eliashib. And the Bible said, and after him repaired the priest, the men of the plain. And then look with me in verse number 25. And about the middle part of that verse, and the tower which lieth out from the king's high house that was by the court of the prison. And we draw your attention, some of those phrases we want to deal with this evening surrounding the fountain gate. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. Make the Word of God alive. The studies we've done and the truths you've shown, I pray, Lord, would be alive in our midst. May, Lord, tonight the Word of God be our instruction. May, Lord, it be a fire in our bosom. Lord, as we hear it preached and taught and delivered to us, may it illuminate our eyes. May, Lord, it charge us, Lord, tonight to go out of here, Lord, living in the Holy Ghost, filled with Him and His power and His influence. And, Lord, may we be what we need to be in these days. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, we're back in on the fountain gate this evening. We said on Sunday night that this is the first of back-to-back gates that are associated with water. And we'll look at the next one in weeks to come. That'll be the water gate, and we'll find there that that is still water. Still water in the Word of God is a type of the Scripture. But at the fountain gate, we find that the fountain gate has running or living water supplied literally by the Gihon Springs. And we read about this evening in verse 15 as well as verse number 16 that in this particular fountain gate, there is the pool of Siloah, and then there is a lesser pool if you study out the geography of what is going on here that he references in verse number 16 to the pool that was made. And so the pool of Siloah and then the lesser pool, this was a place where the springs would bubble up, the water would be running, it would be moving, it would be active, and that is called living water. And so the fountain gate and its springing, running, living water, we said on Wednesday night, we believe to be a picture in the Word of God of the ministry and relationship of the Holy Spirit to the believer. And Jesus would speak about this in John 7, verse 37, 8, and 9. And when he spake about if anyone was thirsty, he could come to Christ, and he that believeth on me, Jesus said, out of his belly would flow rivers of living water. And so there's rivers mentioned in John 7. Jesus said the woman, Samaritan woman at the well, John 4, 13 and 14, that if we drink of the water that is found in the wells and the water systems of this world, we shall thirst again. And if we drink of the water that he has to offer you and I, Jesus said, ye shall never thirst again. And that, my friend, within us would be wells of living water. And the idea of rivers of living water, wells of living water, speak of John 7:39 of the Holy Ghost. A man that was not yet given in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it are imparted to you and I in the moment of salvation when we believe on Christ. We receive him and the Holy Spirit into our heart, into our life. Our vessel begins to be his temple, and he's not dead. He's not still. He's not just laying there. He's not lethargic. Oh, no. Amen. He is rivers of living water within us. He is wells that are bubbling and springing up within us. And so thank God for the fact that we have a relationship with the Spirit of God in the very moment of conversion, in the very moment of faith, in the very moment we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive that Holy Spirit of God whereby we're sealed unto the day of redemption. He's not only active in the moment of salvation, but from the moment of salvation, as we'll see in a part of the message tonight, till we get to glory, amen, he is living within us. He is springing up within us. And oh, what a blessed thought that is. I said on Sunday night, it's important to note that upon leaving the dung gate, the previous gate, toward the fountain gate, there is an upward trajectory that begins to take place. We're leaving the lowest part of the city and we're beginning to climb higher ground. And we said on Sunday night, in regard to that truth, that only by a man's relationship, the Holy Ghost, can a child of God climb higher ground. Amen. If we're going to gain ground tonight, it'll not be through human effort. It'll not be through the efforts of the flesh and the arm and the power of it. It will be by the Spirit of God leading us and propelling us and guiding us to that higher ground. Ain't you thankful tonight? Amen. There is always higher ground. The Spirit of God moving in our life. Amen. Leading us on an upward spiritual trajectory. And so we're looking through Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 15 through verse 25. And we're examining several truths the Lord's give to me to give to you. And I guess if you take all five of them, I don't know how many there'd be, Mr. Ronnie, maybe 20 or more truths, really, that we want to point out. And amen, about the fountain gate and how it shows the work of the Spirit in the believer's life. And if you humor me for a moment, I want to deal with something on this first point again, the cleansing at the fountain gate. Of course, this gate follows the dung gate where our rubbish was handled and disposed of, and now there's a need for cleansing. We said that on Sunday night. And that is only going to come by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Us yielding ourselves to him. When we got saved, the Word of God spake of our regeneration. Amen. Our being born again, we're regenerated. Amen. By the washing of the water and by renewing of the Holy Ghost. And we don't need to get saved again and again and again, but let's be honest, we do need to be cleansed from time to time. And so when we get in sin, it's our responsibility to repent of that and to dispose of that, to turn from that, but ultimately cleansing and victory over sin must be by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I find it interesting. I didn't give this to you on Sunday night, and I'll interject it here and then we'll move into some new ground. But I find it interesting that when we read of the fountain gate, twice we read about pools that are there. And specifically, by name, is the pool of Siloam, and then there's lesser pools amen, believed to be in that region, in this particular place of the gate of the fountain. What is interesting to me, Brother Larry, is that when you look at the pool of Siloam, when you come to the New Testament, it is referenced as the pool of Siloam. Do you remember in John chapter number 9, when Jesus is passing into the city, there is a blind man that is there. And this blind man is the subject of conversation and is brought up to the Lord. And so the question is presented, has this man sinned or did his parents? And Jesus said, neither did this man sin nor his parents. This blindness, this sickness that he has, it is for the glory of God. This man's condition, amen, has been in him so that God could get the glory for what I'm about to do in his life. And so he is a blind man in need of sight. When you do a study, and just bear with me now, when you do a word study on the name fountain, the fountain gate, the Hebrew word for fountain literally means eye. Amen, to see with the eye. Ain't it amazing that amen, Christ is dealing with, in John chapter number 9, a man who has a vision problem, who cannot see. Jesus, after saying this is for the glory of God, he spits on the ground, he takes his spittle, and he wipes it in the man's eyes. And then Jesus, in John 9, in verse number 7, Brother Larry, tells him, go and wash thyself where? He said, do that in the pool of Siloam. Amen. Go down there, the gate of the fountain, and wash your eyes. And Jesus said, when you do that, amen, you're going to be able to see. Can I read the verse to you tonight? Amen, there's something amazing. This man takes off and he goes and he does that. And the Bible said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed. And the Bible said, and came see. Amen. When he went and washed there at the fountain gate, got his eyes washed, had washed the mud and the spittle and the blindness away. Amen. All of a sudden, he can see things like, amen, God intended for him to see. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, I think we're in a generation of people that cannot see spiritually the way that God would have them to see. And they just can't see it. Amen. I can't tell you how many times that, amen, as a pastor, you try to deal with folk and they make this statement, I just don't see it. Or I don't see it that way. Amen. And a lot of times it hinges on their living in the flesh. Amen. Can I say, child of God, amen, at the fountain gate, that representing our relationship to the Spirit of God. Amen. He is the one that can cleanse our flesh. Amen. Restore our spiritual vision. And then we'll be able to come seeing things the way that we ought to see. Amen. Ain't it amazing when you're living in the flesh and feeding the flesh and that friend leaning on the flesh. Amen. You can't see things spiritually. Everybody else seems to see it so clear. Everybody else seems to be so sure. Amen. In those times, amen, would to God we'd let Jesus, amen, work in our life and point it out and send us to the Holy Ghost and get cleansing. Amen. So we can see things the way we ought to see them again. Amen. That's some good preaching right there. Amen. Well, Brother Larry thinks so. Amen. Amen. And so the cleansing, this gate was the closest water to the temple and afforded the people of God cleansing essential to their worship. We looked at the custodian at the fountain gate, this man and the identification he had with his father and then with the place where he was part ruler of. And I won't re-preach all that. We ended on the construction at the fountain gate. How then Shalem began by repairing what was there that the enemy had so intently set on destroying even beyond any of the other gates, they destroyed that gate and made it impassable and made it unenjoyable, made it where there was zero benefit. But he repairs what he can repair. But then the Bible said, and built it. That is, and he repaired what he could, and he did not give up on the rest, put it under construction. And when all was said and done, it was good as new. And the enemy longs to, amen, destroy and to sever and to hinder our relationship, the Spirit of God, through fleshly living, carnal living, sin, amen, through discouragement and all sorts of things, just to divide us, amen, from the enjoyment of our relationship with the Spirit of God. Amen. But thank God the Holy Ghost, He can repair that and build that and work in that and make it as good as brand new. Amen. We said He does it piece by piece, another piece at a time. Amen. Throughout the text, another piece, another piece, another piece. Amen. We're not a completed work, but through the power of the Holy Ghost and His work in our life, amen, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And thank God for His ministry in our life. And number four, let me say several things, a lot of things tonight, about what we call the collaboration around the fountain gate. The collaboration, you see, from the gate of the fountain, we're moving now northeastward around the city wall. And this particular wall that is joined to the fountain gate, between the fountain gate and the water gate, and some collaborative things that are made mention here that I think show us our connection to the Holy Spirit of God. Several specific places that reflect this in our life. Notice with me again in verse number 15. And I leave the pools out. That kind of was covered under the cleansing. But notice the next thing that is mentioned here. He said that the wall of the pool of Siloah by the king's garden. Notice number one tonight, the collaboration around the fountain gate to the king's garden. Here's a reference to a very special, to the special fruit grown for the king's pleasure. In the king's garden was the king's fruit, things that would be grown there. And no doubt the king's garden was the most fruitful and beautiful that would be in the land. Amen. Things, I'm sure, seemed to grow bigger and sweeter and more fragrant. Amen. No doubt there wasn't a weed in the garden. It was immaculate. Amen. Well tended to and well cared for. Amen. This is not the common man's garden. This is the king's garden. Amen. This is where you find unique fruits you cannot find anywhere else in the land. Amen. The king's garden. What a place that must have been. Amen. Even to pass by, much less to walk through and to enjoy and to pluck its fruit and to eat it and to enjoy that. The king's garden. I believe it speaks of the fruitfulness of the Spirit of God in our own lives. Amen. I believe our lives as children of God. Listen now. Amen. My spiritual life ought to be equivalent to the king's garden. Amen. In fact, when we began to study the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in relation to our life as believers, let me point out a few verses, and you know these, but in Ephesians chapter number 5 and in verse number 9, there is a parenthetical phrase that is mentioned where the Bible said, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." The fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Hey, child of God, I'm telling you tonight, amen, your spiritual life is to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And he said you ain't going to find in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. That is what the Spirit is growing in our life. Amen. You're not going to find it in the world. It is wrapped up in righteousness. It is wrapped up in goodness. And it is wrapped up in truth. Amen. Ain't you glad that what the Spirit of the Lord is growing in us? amen, is so diametrically opposed to what is found in this world. Amen, this world is lieth in wickedness, it lieth in lies and untruths and misinformation. Amen, it lies, my friend, in badness and in evil, not in goodness. Amen, but since we've been saved, the Spirit of the Lord, amen, is taking you and I, His children, and you and I collectively as His church, and making us, as it were, the king's garden. Amen. Here's what Paul said. You know these verses very well. You could quote them in Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so, Brother Jack, he is saying, amen, that what the Spirit is growing in our life as we walk in the Spirit, as we are filled with the Spirit, as we yield ourselves to Him, what is He yielding in our life? Amen. He is yielding fruit for the king's pleasure. Amen. Fruit for the king's pleasure. He is beautifying and fruitifying our life. Amen. In ways that the flesh could never do. Amen. Let's be honest. Even since we've been saved, our flesh ain't ever grown anything beautiful and anything worth eating. Amen. But ain't it amazing when we're walking in the Holy Ghost and living under His influence, what He is producing in our life. Amen. It not only astounds us, it brings glory and honor and pleasure to our King. Amen. The collaboration around the fountain gate we see here. Amen. The king's garden. Number two, I have these broke down in six different points. We'll add a couple of them together, but notice with me the next reference again in verse number 15. The Bible said, and under the stairs that go down from the city of David. And from the stairs that go down from the city of David. Now, we're dealing with stairs here. I thought about this, Brother Maurice, that stairs, this speaks of access to and from a lofty place. Amen. If you have stairs, we've got, amen, two or three of them here tonight to the pulpit. And stairs are used to go from a low place to a lofty place. Amen. Somewhere that is a little bit higher. And I think this specifically, amen, of a stairway that, in this place, in this instance specifically, is speaking of a stairway, that gave access to the Temple Mount. Amen. It was the stairway that led you up into the city. And when you reach the top of it, you was on the Temple Mount. Amen. What is the Temple Mount? That is the place that you meet with God. Amen. That's where they would go to meet with the Lord. And so what I found here is that this speaks of prayer. Brother Mike, this speaks of prayer. Amen. Can I remind us tonight, amen, the fountain gate, speaking of our relationship and the ministry of the Spirit of God in our life, amen, that there is a difference in saying prayers and praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen, you can't pray without Him. There's times, amen, there are times that we are so busted and in such physical or mental or even spiritual anguish that Paul said in Romans chapter number 8, amen, we can reach a place and we don't even know how to pray as though we ought to pray. But Paul said, don't worry, for it's in those times, amen, the Spirit of God joins Himself to you and me, amen, and He makes utterances on our behalf, amen, interceding for you and me. Ain't you glad we got the Holy Ghost help in the place of prayer? Amen, to go from a low place, a groaning place, a small place, an isolated place, and thank God He'll lead us to the stairs to glory. Amen, you say there ain't no stairs to glory. Well, Jacob,
Amen. When he's down in the land of Luz, amen, he said, I seen a ladder, amen. And on that ladder, there was the ability to ascend and descend into the presence of the Lord. Amen. I'm glad tonight, amen, spiritually, by the Spirit of God, amen, we have access from this realm and this world and all that plagues us and troubles us. Amen, the Spirit of the Lord can carry us into the presence of God. Amen. And so it speaks of prayer. I found this interesting. Amen. I stumbled across this today. Amen. As I began to study and ponder and get my heart set on this, I began to do some more research on the stairs. Amen. That go down. The stairs that go down. And I found out that it is believed by many, in fact, that these stairs were the place where Acts chapter number 2 took place, the day of Pentecost. Amen. And there's actual videos you can look at where men are doing lessons and teaching things about this. And it's a rather large stairway system, in fact. My memory serves me correct, it's 24 feet wide. And they ascend up 37 steps. Amen, would ascend to the Temple Mount, and they believe that that is the place where the Spirit of God fell, and Peter and the disciples stood and began to preach at, and that multitude of sinners was born again in the family of God. Amen, you remember what Peter said? Amen, when they said, amen, what must we do to be saved? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, amen, for the remission of sin. Amen, well, if they're going to repent and be saved and be baptized, they got to be some water. Amen, and there's water all over the place, the pool of Siloam, the lesser pools, and those matters. And so, amen, they believe that is where, amen, the Spirit of God fell and empowered the church in Acts chapter number 2. You say, preacher, what's your point? Amen, my point is we need to learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen, and pray till the Holy Ghost gets on us and empowers us. Amen, so we can make an impact in this ungodly world in which, amen, you and I as a living, I believe he's the same Holy Ghost today as he was in Acts 2. I believe he's got as much power as he's ever had. Amen, and we ain't going to know that power unless we're willing, amen, to set in our prayer life on that upward stairway, amen, and live in the presence of God so that the Spirit of God, amen, ain't it amazing? I think Sammy Allen said it somewhat like this. Amen. Many years ago, I heard him preach. Amen. He said, when the prayers go up, the power comes down. Amen. I believe that's right. I believe that's right. And that is taught, amen, here at the Fountain Gate. Amen. There'll be no power of the Holy Ghost coming down if there ain't no prayers going up. And then let me say number 3. Look with me in verse number 16, the reference to the collaboration with the Fountain Gate, to that of the Sepulchres of David. The Sepulchres of David. These would have been the tombs of David and his family that would follow him to the grave. And so sepulchres have. And I take this to mean this evening and in my study, this here's kind of how the Spirit of the Lord put it in my heart, that it shows the connection that the Holy Spirit keeps in us to our spiritual heritage in the faith once delivered to the saints. Amen. And there is a departing from the faith going on in our day. Amen. There are people that, my friend, are leaving. And I don't care how you word it, I guess, the way that it's traditionally been worded, Brother Tim, is the old time way. Amen. I don't have a problem with that statement. If you don't like that one, I don't care how you word it. Amen. I guess the way the Bible worded it, amen, is that, amen, there is a faith that has been once delivered for the saints. And they are, Brother Mike, they are abandoning it and departing from it. Amen. That's what Paul said was going to happen in the last days. That men would depart from the faith. How? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. What is the antidote to that? I tell you what I believe it better be, Brother Mark, in our life. Amen. It better be the Spirit of God. Amen. Having right away to work in our life. Amen. To keep us tapped into what our spiritual heritage is. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the old time way. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Moses. And I'm not ashamed of Joshua and Gideon. I'm not ashamed of Peter and Paul and James and John. Amen. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the Polycarp said, and the Spurgeon said, I'm not ashamed tonight of the Percy Rays and the Sammy Allen said, and the Billy Goolsby said, and I'm not ashamed of the Brother Raines and the Dr. Wells said, I'm not ashamed tonight, amen, of what our spiritual heritage is. Amen. You'd be amazed how many's embarrassed and do not want the reproach of it. Amen, you can do with this what you want. I love you now. Amen, but you departing from the faith and you forsaking it. Amen, and excusing that away out of your life. Amen, is evidence that the Spirit of God does not control your life and your thoughts. Amen. Amen, I'm not ashamed of it tonight. Amen. This thinking, and I didn't mean to bog down right here, but amen, this thinking in our day, well, we all get to make up our own mind. Amen. According to the Word of God, we're to be dominated and controlled by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Why would He lead us one way when He led our forefathers another way? Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I believe again, a lot of folks' problem is it ain't that they can't see it, it's that they don't want what they can see. Amen. And I love the old time way, a holy life. Amen. A holy, godly way of living. Amen. He didn't save me to leave me in the old filth that He saved me out of. Amen. He saved me that He might govern my life. Amen. And as He governs it, I will always be identified with our forefathers. Amen. I believe that's right. Amen. Preacher, things change. The Holy Ghost don't change. Preacher, we're living in a new day. The Holy Ghost ain't new. Somebody help me preach now. Amen. He ain't changed. He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. Amen. They're changing their Bibles. They're doing away with the hymn books. Amen. They're lowering the standard where you can't tell what a child of God, amen, even looks like, sounds like, acts like, thinks like anymore. Amen. That ain't of God, friend. That ain't of God. Amen. That ain't of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost should keep us in connection of the faith once delivered unto the saints. He didn't give us another faith. He didn't give us another way of holy living. So I got liberty. You got liberty. You can do whatever you want to do. Amen. I'm just telling you the Holy Spirit. Amen. He only gave one faith. Amen. We're to allow Him to govern our life and to walk us into it. Hang on now. Amen. Not only the sepulchres of David, the stairs that go down from the city of David, the king's garden. Notice with me verse 16 and in verse number 19. I'll combine two thoughts to make one thought, but we read in the end of verse number 16, and under the house of the mighty. Under the house of the mighty. And then in verse number 19, it said, over against the going up to the armory at the turning of the wall. Amen. I began to think about this, and in my study, here's what I found, that David's mighty men had barracks in this section of the city in the wall nearest to the gate of the fountain. Amen. And their weapons, amen, now if that's where the barracks of the mighty men are going to be, then, Brother Mike, it only makes sense their weapons are not going to be that far from them. And so, amen, oh Lord, help me preach this. Brother Mark, in this section collaborating with the Fountain Gate, you have warriors and you have weapons. Amen. The mighty men are only mighty and men, amen. The Spirit-filled, amen, are the mighty, and only by the Holy Ghost can we have access to our spiritual weapons. You better not try to swing the sword of the Spirit in the power of the flesh. Amen. You better not try to be mighty if you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. You'll fall flat on your face. You say, how do you know? Because I've tried. Amen. I've tried, but amen. Can I say this evening that as we yield ourselves to the ministry and the work of the Spirit of God, amen, we can be mighty men. You ladies can be mighty women of God. Amen. We can tap into the armory. We can have the weapons. Amen. That are there. And I'm just so thankful and mindful tonight. Amen. That in the Sunday school hour and months gone by, Brother Tiff, amen, has given us some things in our weapons and things that we have access to that, amen, if we'll walk in the Spirit of the Lord, we'll know how to have our loins girt about with truth, and we'll know what it is to take the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and stand it, amen, in the things that we have access to by the armory of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not in the power of the flesh, not in the exercise of experience, but living your life governed by the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Lord, help us to be men and women of might who know where the armory is, how to gain the weapons of our warfare, that you and I might fight a good fight. That's what Paul said he did. I fought a good fight. Amen. Brother Lee Davis said, I don't know if I fought a good fight, but I've been in a good and every now and then. Amen. How many of us can say that? Amen. I'm trying to war a good warfare. I'm trying to endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen. When I'm learning, the longer I'm saved and the longer I'm in the ministry, amen, that is only possible by the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need the Spirit of the Lord to be working in our life. Amen. The mighty men in the army. Notice with me number five or four or wherever we're at. I guess it's number five. The tower which lieth out from the king's house, it was by the court of the prison. Verse 25. Amen. And I thought about this, that, and if you let me break it down this way, and I'll illustrate it from another text. But the tower, you remember when we dealt with the tower back there in the Valley Gate. Amen, the Valley Gate. How, amen, that there was a tower there. There, amen, was the tower furnaces that were there. Amen, in the wall between the old gate and the Valley Gate. How that spake guys, amen, of the pulpit and preaching that had fire. Amen, and we said that because where you read the word tower in your King James Bible, amen, it has a reference in the days of Ezra to that of the word pulpit. And it just simply means that, amen, a tower, if you can imagine a tower, a wooden tower, amen, and a pulpit would look similar to the, amen, to the eye, an elevated place in which in Ezra's day they preached. And so the tower here speaks again and represents the pulpit and the preached word of God. Amen. The reference here in verse 25 to the king's house, it pictures none other than God's house. And so we got some preaching of the word going on in God's house, all right? And then notice what he said. He said that this was, and I'm combining two things, it was near the court of the prison, that was by the court of the prison, verse 25. And so when you think about the court of the prison, this is a type of the hard times we go through in life. Amen. Times where we feel confined. Times when we feel bound. Times when we feel constrained. Amen. Times when we feel like, amen, the enemy has got me in shackles. Amen. Now, amen, do you see the typology? Amen. The court of the prison pictures all of that. Amen. But near those times of our life, amen, there is a pulpit, there is a tower of truth, amen, proclaiming the word of God in God's house. Amen. You say, well, you surely ain't got any way to illustrate this. Amen. Well, amen, I'm just telling you how the Holy Spirit give it to me in studying this. When you study out the court of the prison in the Word of God, amen, you'll find that Jeremiah shows that the Spirit, amen, will bring a word to you in such times. Amen. The Spirit of God will have a message just for you. Amen. If you somehow get to the King's house, amen, not just the King's house, the King's high house, amen, near where the tower is, amen, then even though you feel like you're in a prison, amen, the Spirit of God will get a message to you that'll be just what you need. Amen. Look with me in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, Lord, I gotta hurry. Amen. I got too much to get to. I want to get to the next point. Amen. If the Lord will help us. Look with me in Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32, and look with me in verse number 2, let's see where Jeremiah is put in. The Bible said, For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was shut up where? In the court of the prison, which is in the king of Judah's house. And so where's he at? He's in this place of the court of the prison that is near the gate of the fountain. Amen. Look with me over just one page, if you will, one chapter in Jeremiah 33 and in verse number 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. In other words, Jeremiah had been confined. He's in prison. The enemy has, amen, shut him up, Brother Mark. Amen, he is confined. You talk about a hard time. Amen, Jeremiah is in a hard time. Amen, oh, it looks like, amen, no word can get out and no word can get in. Brother Jerry, all of a sudden in the next chapter of his life, amen, he's still where he was in the previous chapter. Somehow the Spirit of the Lord came into the prison and came into that hard time. And my friend, the Bible said this wasn't the first time that it happened. It was the second time while he's in such a shape that the Lord brought a word to him. Amen. I'm thankful tonight. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that when it comes to the ministry of the Holy Ghost, amen, you may be somewhere tonight. It don't look like a word can get in or a word can get out. Amen. But I'm glad they ain't a prison, my friend, with walls high enough. Amen. They ain't a prison with walls thick enough. Amen. There's not a prison, my friend, that's got enough security and armed guards to keep the Holy Ghost out. Amen. He can break in your prison and enter into your heart tight. Amen. And give you a word from God to be just what you need. Amen. Jeremiah 33:1, the word is said to have come. Ain't it amazing that one of the greatest words that we lean on even to this day, amen, comes to Jeremiah in two verses. Amen. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. Jeremiah got a word from the Holy Ghost in the court of the prison. Amen. I don't know if this is helping y'all or not. Amen. But it sounds good up here. Amen. Notice with me, the word came to him again. Amen. It seemed like every time we look at Jeremiah, amen, he's in the court of the prison. He's in shackles. Amen. He's in this hard time. Jeremiah 39. And in verse 15, look at this. Amen. The Bible said, now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison. Amen. You see that? Amen. You say, preacher. Amen. It seemed like God would have got him out of the prison. Amen. It seemed like if he was a real true servant of the Lord, that God would have spared it. Amen. I'll leave all that up to the Lord, but I'll tell you what, I am thankful. Brother Gerald, amen, even though God didn't set him free and God didn't bail him out and God didn't break him out, amen, God knew if I can get a word to it, amen, that'll be what will sustain him while he's in prison and while he's shut up. Amen. God knew that a word from heaven would be just what he needed. Amen. How many times have you been there, amen, just to get a word from God? Amen. Maybe it came from the house of God, somebody giving a testimony. Amen. Maybe it's through the preached word of God and the word of truth that came from the pulpit. Amen. No matter how it comes, I'm glad God knows how to give us a word. Amen. Notice with me number 6, I believe it is. I'll back up to verse number 20 and verse number 21. And notice here, there's a reference to the house of Eliashib, verse number 20, the high priest. Now wait a minute, do y'all remember when we dealt with the sheep gate? Who is the man, Brother Jeremy, that was building the sheep gate? It was none other than Eliashib, the high priest. And we found in him a type of the Savior. Is that right? Amen. He was a type of the Savior, preparing the way, building the sheep gate, making a way when there was no way, the way of the Lamb, the way of redemption, the way of the blood. Amen. And now, amen, we find the high priest again is associated, amen, concerning his house to that of the fountain gate, the place it speaks of our relationship, the Holy Spirit. Now look in verse number 21. This is what I want to show you. Lord, I'd like to have had a shouting spell. Amen. When I seen this, let's see if it helps anybody tonight. Amen. It states specifically in verse number 21 that, amen, watch this now, from the door of the house of Elijah, from the door. And then it said, even to the end of the house of Elijah. So we have the door and we have the end. Is that what your Bible said? Brother A.L., that word door literally means what you would think it would mean, opening. And it speaks of the entrance. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You know how you got in the door? Amen. You know how you got through the door of the high priest? Amen. You got through the door by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's the one that brought you to the door. He's the one that unlocked the door. He's the one that opened the door. He's the one that led you through the door. He's the one that made you feel welcome when you got in the door. Amen. All that about the door, amen, speaks of the Spirit of God and His work in salvation. But what I'm interested in is the next phrase, not only from the door of the house of Elijah, but even, Brother Tim, even unto the end. That's weird. That's a weird way to talk about somebody's house. Amen. If you come to my house, you come through the door. I don't say, let me take you to the end of my house. Amen. Nobody talks like that in Tennessee. Amen. We just say, hey, come in the door. I'll show you around. Amen. But this here in your King James Bible said, even to the end. The word end means literally completion. It represents the place, listen now, the place of accomplishment or the place of the finish line. Amen. And so we have the door and we have even to the end. From the door, from the beginning, from the opening, amen, from the entrance, all the way to the finish line. Amen. Can I remind you tonight, it's the Holy Spirit who got us in. Amen. Got us in the door and from then to the end. He will see us safe home to our high priest, Jesus Christ. Amen. I got in this thing 25 years ago. Amen. I still ain't reached the end. Amen. Every time I turn around, there's a new aspect of this thing of being saved. There's something else to this thing. Amen. Of the spiritual life, the Spirit of God is leading us through. Amen. But I'm glad I'm safe in His care even unto the end. Amen. You say, preacher, since I've entered in the door, amen, it doesn't look like there's any end in sight. It doesn't look like it's going to end ever. It looks like I'm going to die before I reach the end. Amen. Can I give you a few words tonight? Amen. Even unto the end. Amen. Those four words, my friend, tap us in. Amen. The Spirit of God, preacher, you don't know what I'm facing tonight. Amen. I don't know what you're facing, but even unto the end. Amen. I don't know what you're going through, but even unto the end. I don't know what you went through yesterday or what awaits you on tomorrow. Amen. But can I tell you tonight, by the Spirit of God, amen, we are going even unto the end. Amen. He ain't going to lose us. Amen. He's going to get us across the finish line. Let me give you a fifth main point, the covering of the fountain gate, and I'm done. Upon the repair and the building of this gate, look back in our text. Shallon does something that is said to only have been done at this particular gate. The Bible said he repaired. The Bible said he built it. Look in the middle of the verse. He built it and covered it. He built it and covered it. There ain't another gate. All the 10 that are mentioned in Nehemiah chapter number 3, this is the only one that Lucas is said to have been covered. Amen. So that must mean something, right? It literally means to strew over. It means to cover or plate with beams. It means to supply a roof over. It seems to imply, amen, it seems to imply some sort of canopy was erected to protect the gate of the fountain and the pools and all that was going on around there. Amen. A covering, a canopy of protection. Amen. Well, I can see this is helping y'all. Amen. Notice with me the spiritual application. The spiritual application. Preacher, he covered it. What is the spiritual application? Well, let me say, in regard to the spiritual application, the Spirit, amen, the Spirit has us covered. Amen. They speak in the realms of insurance talk. They want to know about your coverage, what kind of coverage you got. Amen. And can I say, your coverage is only as good as when you need it. Amen. Some people think they got a lot of coverage till they got a, amen. I had an instance, somebody stole some things out of my boat, and I've been slowly adding up. I've slowly been finding things that are gone, and I know Sam ain't took them. Amen. And somebody really literally stole out of my boat, and I've been adding it up, and it added up to quite a bit amount of money to the point. Amen. I called my insurance agent the other day. I said, hey, am I covered? Tell me about my coverage. And she told me, and I was pretty happy about the coverage. Amen. Now, they ain't come through yet. We're going to see if it's as good as she said. But, Brother Mike, your coverage is only as good as the time you really, really desperately need it. Can I remind you, the Holy Ghost has got you covered, and you have adequate coverage for your spiritual life tonight. Amen. We are protected and safe with Him as our banner. He has, child of God, He has you covered. And then let me say quickly, and I'm done, the practical application. Not only spiritual in regard to the Spirit, but practical application in regard to the saint. He covered it. I think tonight there'd be a lesson if we had strength to preach it out, that once you have your relationship with the Holy Spirit in line where it should be, everybody listen now, once you get it where it should be, protect it. Guard it. Cover it.
That's why the New Testament says in, is it Ephesians 4? Ephesians 4, is it verse 30? That said, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. You know what Paul is saying? He saved you. He made you right with God. Learn how to walk in Him and live in Him. And when you're running well and all is well between you and the Spirit of God, amen, cover it, protect it. Don't let anything come in your life and quench what He's trying to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 said, quench not the Spirit. Just simply quench not the Spirit. You know what those New Testament commands are telling us? You better cover it. Amen. You better, listen, He's got adequate coverage over our life. We better make sure tonight all is well between us and the Spirit of God on the inside. Amen. And tonight, if it's not, you ought to get it right. And tonight, if it's not and you get it right, and tonight, if it is right, may we all leave here saying, I want to make sure that I guard and protect my relationship to the Spirit of God. I said on Sunday night, I believe, you take the Spirit of God, you take His influence, you grieve Him or quench Him and start running in the power of the flesh. Boy, what a disaster we make. Is that right? What dangers we find ourselves in when we're not right with the Spirit of God. When we've been feeding the flesh and not the Spirit, ain't it amazing how blind we can be? How our feelings get away from us, our emotions get away from us, how spiritually inadequate we can find ourselves in when we are not protecting and guarding the relationship we have with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying might be some things need to be repaired and built, and that's the Spirit's doings. But if He be so gracious to do it, we better guard what He does, like our spiritual life counts on it, because, Brother Mo, it does count on it. Amen.